difficulty with these passages in Philippians, at least that I'm finding, is trying to focus and keep sermons short, because there's so much good stuff that Paul is telling us, I think. This passage this week is no exception. And what I want to focus on is the idea of the journey of faith. The journey of, life and faith that we all are part of. We all have our own journey that we are on. Hopefully all headed roughly in the same direction, but I'll get to that. But each of us has a separate journey. And in this passage, Paul focuses, I think, on his journey and on all of us journeying towards Christ. So I want to reflect on that for a few minutes this morning, because I think Paul gives us some good wisdom as we are walking or running or crawling or however we are moving along our journey. Paul begins by reflecting on his own past. He says, you know, if anyone has reason to feel good about their life, if anyone has reason to think they were in a great place, according to the world's view, it was me. I mean, Paul had everything going for him in terms of the world's status in that time and culture that he was in. He was a good, observant Jew of one of the tribes of Israel. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He knew Scripture. He knew how to lecture people about it. He knew as well that when these heretical Christians came, he knew that his job was to persecute them. All of that, in most people's eyes, at least in the Jewish tradition, gave him great status. So Paul says, if anyone had reason to be confident in the world's status and how they appeared to others, it was me. And then Paul's journey took a turn. As I'm sure you remember, there on the road to Damascus, when he sees the light, is blinded by the light, and hears Jesus speaking to him, and his whole life is turned upside down. His journey changes. And so Paul is writing this many, many, many years later, and he's saying, now as I look back over where I was, all that stuff that I thought was so important, status and wealth and power and authority and what other people thought of me, all that earthly stuff really means nothing. I mean, our translation today tactfully calls it sewer trash, but Paul is saying here really, and it's dung, manure, you know. He says it's worth nothing compared to the superior value of knowing Christ. That's what's important now. That's what Paul has realized. Knowing Christ. So Paul says all that stuff, and we get caught up in the same trap, all the stuff the world tells us is important. Money, power, fame, good looks, etc. You know, the list goes on. We could come up with a huge list of things the world tells us that give us status in this world. All those things are ultimately really worth nothing compared to the value of knowing Christ. And when Paul talks about knowing Christ, he's not talking about it in an intellectual sense or just an intellectual sense of knowing. He means knowing Christ in the sense of experiencing Christ, being faithful and trusting in Christ, having that personal knowledge and experience of that Christ was who he said he was and did what he said he came to do. That's what is of most important value to Paul, knowing Christ and then growing in Christ and participating in Christ in his suffering and resurrection ultimately. Everything else, Paul says, I realized was garbage. And for Paul, that moment was a rather dramatic and sudden moment on the road to Damascus. I suspect for many of us, that turn in our journey is more gradual. What do we call that? A graded curve, you know. Not sudden. For some it is. But for most of us, I suspect it's something we begin to realize over time. But Paul is very insistent that we are all on a journey. Yes, and he uses the image of a journey or even a race many places in his letters. He uses it here. He says, I keep going. Not that I've reached where I'm going. I haven't reached perfection. None of us have reached perfection in knowing Christ. None of us have reached the ultimate goal of being with God forever, having eternal life and resurrection. None of us have reached that goal, but we keep pressing forward. That's Paul's ultimate point along the journey. We keep pressing forward, moving forward. And that's where, in the context of that, Paul says, that's why I don't look back. I don't worry about what has happened before. Now, let's be clear what Paul isn't saying here. Paul isn't saying the past has no value. He isn't saying history has no value. After all, we worship a Lord who says, do this in remembrance of me. We're not supposed to not remember the past. But Paul, I think, is making a valuable point long before psychoanalysis or anything was invented, of saying as we move forward in our journey, don't let the past keep pulling us back. Don't let the past impede our forward movement. Now remember, this is Paul, who was an enemy of the Christians. I mean, he was persecuting them. He held the cloak of those who stoned Stephen. Can you imagine Paul in his early days and weeks and months after his conversion having to interact with Christians? I mean, even Ananias, who God says, go to Paul there in Damascus. Ananias initially says, look, I know who this Saul at the time. I know who this Saul guy is. He's the enemy. And God says, well, I've got plans for him. Just go. Can you imagine, though, Paul having to interact with those early Christians? He can't just forget the past. I'm sure there was a lot of apologizing to be done and confession. But he said, I'm not going to let that my past hold me back. I know now what I have to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm not going to allow my past to get in the way. That's pretty wise advice for us on our journeys. Don't let your past hold you back. Instead, keep moving into the future. That's pretty good advice. And Paul is one who had to live that and learn. And it's not easy. But he kept moving forward. Now, Paul also, I think, implies to us as we are moving on this journey, also not to get too distracted by other stuff along the side. You know, our world doesn't have any such distractions in it. No. But that's why Paul keeps saying, press on, keep moving forward, even if it's only one tiny, minuscule little step at a time, but still keep moving forward. Keep your eyes on the prize. That great phrase that grows out of the civil rights movement. It comes from here. Keep your eyes on the prize. Don't get pulled back. Don't get distracted. And notice as well, this journey or race that Paul is talking about is not about speed. It's not about who crosses the finish line first. No one's timing you. It's not a competition. Paul's point is, hey, let's all make sure we're moving forward so we all do cross the finish line ultimately. All of this, I think, is beautifully summed up by John Calvin. I know it's the second week in a row when I'm bringing up John Calvin, but Calvin's commentary on the letter of the Philippians I find particularly, particularly wonderful. And so I want to share with you, as I did last week, a quote from John Calvin, in which I think he does a much better job of summing up this passage than I ever could. He's talking about this image of the race or the journey. And Calvin says, "As the runner requires to be unencumbered and not stop running for any impediment, but must continue his course, surmounting every obstacle, so we must take heed that we do not turn our thoughts or mind to anything irrelevant, but must, on the contrary, make it our endeavor to be free from every distraction and apply ourselves exclusively to God's calling." And he goes on. Paul alludes to runners who do not turn their eyes aside lest they should slacken speed in their course, and more especially do not look behind to see how much ground they have gone over, but hasten forward straight on to the goal. Thus, Paul teaches us that he does not think of what he has been or what he has done, but only presses forward toward the appointed goal, and that with such ardor that he runs towards it, as it were, with outstretched arms. You know, like the runners you see when they cross the finish line. Or maybe outstretched arms like a hug. Anyway, I like that image of running the race, pressing forward, but doing it with outstretched arms particularly. And that's the image I want to leave you with and invite you to consider this week. Consider the journey you are on. Consider not your past, where you've been, or what's along the side of the road, but where you're headed. And not how fast or how quickly, but steadily. You know, like the tortoise, slow and steady wins the race. But to also keep in mind, as you are on this journey, to do so with outstretched arms, ready to receive what God may be giving you, ready perhaps to give Jesus a big hug when you get there, but also to know, as you are walking, crawling, running this race with outstretched arms, that's exactly how God is coming towards you at the same time. Amen.